We are hearing from Isaiah today, chapter 58. The full lesson was verses 1 through 14. And it's funny, my husband said to me, this is a rather long scripture this week. And I said, well, the funny thing is, 1 through 12 is what was in the lectionary. I added 13 and 14, and that's the part I'm going to read to you, is 13 and 14. And then we'll talk about the others later. So 13 and 14 read this way. If because of the Sabbath, you restrain your foot from doing as you wish on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a pleasure, and the holy day of the Lord honorable, and honor it, desisting from your own ways, from seeking your own pleasure, and speaking your own word, then you will take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth, and I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Praise be to God.
Amen. So I had this game that I used to see online once in a while called This or That. Have you seen This or That? A couple of you have seen some This or That. Did you get my email with some pictures in it, Jackson? I've got a couple of This or That's for you that we are going to look at. So this is a cabin or that is a mansion. Would you choose this or that?
Yes.
Pretty unanimously. All right, the next one. This is pizza. That is chocolate. Oh, how many people choose pizza? All right. Now, how many people pick chocolate? Okay, you choose both. There are those that have done that in a couple of my churches. Now, there was somebody specified today, if it's dark chocolate, then I'm chocolate. But if it's not, then I'm okay. So, what's that? Well, that looks like it's just plain chocolate. And I like my chocolate to just be chocolate. I don't like anything else messing with my chocolate experience. All right, we've got a couple more. Here's another one. Beach is this. Mountains is that. How many of you would say beach? Beach, all right. How many say mountains? Wow, the mountains has one today. The beach won at Rich Hill, the mountains won at Ohio Street and here, so all right, and there's one more. Cars or trucks? Who would rather drive a car? And who would rather drive a truck? Oh, wow! All right. Wow, trucks really won. Yeah, you all are the first ones where that's the truth. So in our game, when you see the pictures up there, the assumption is that you're making a choice, right? But if you were to ever change your mind, you could always go and have the other one. But what if the choice was whichever one you don't choose, you can never choose? Oh, see, that just isn't nice at all, is it? Yeah, I might want to choose a banana over a piece of chocolate right now, but later I might still want that chocolate. Right, it's really hard to have that be such a permanent solution or something that we have to make a long-term choice on. What happens when you choose to give something up? Like if I said, let's all go on a diet and not eat carbs anymore, what would happen? All the things you think about are carbs, right? Like 2 minutes, you might all go, that's a really good, this is a conversation. My husband and I have this conversation pretty often. We'll say, we should do this. Yes, we should. That's a great idea. 5 minutes later, we're going, you know what sounds good? We do this all the time. We kind of seem to like the things that we declare to be off limits. Making wise choices is hard. And here we are fast approaching the season of Lent, when we will be asked to make wise spiritual, we're always asked to make wise spiritual choices, but we think about it a little more going into Lent. Lent is like a 40-day faith diet. And if you've never observed Lent before, there have been conversations I've had. I think when I was younger, I didn't really know that much about Lent, right? And then as an adult, and especially as a pastor, I've talked about Lent to folks, and I've had a couple people say to me, oh no, I'm not this denomination or that denomination, we don't do Lent. And I'm like, are you a Christian? Yes. Christians do Lent. And so Lent is 40 days, but it's not 40 consecutive days, by the way. If you're not really familiar with observing Lent, we observe Lent all but the Sabbath. On the Sabbath, we do not give things up because that's God's day. So on the Sabbath, we take a break from whatever it is that we're doing during Lent. And so that's why if you look at the calendar and you go Ash Wednesday, Easter Sunday, that's not 40 days. It is 40 days of your Lenten practices, but you do take breaks in there for the Sabbath. So that is why when I say 40 days, that's the 40 days of our observance. So our 40 days, we decide often what to give up. What am I giving up for Lent? And that makes us have something kind of off limits. And so immediately when we think, oh, I'm going to give up Hershey's bars for Lent, then the only thing we can think about every single day during Lent is Hershey's bars, which is good. It does its purpose, but it can sometimes distract us. Now, who is going to catch you if you slip up? If you say, I'm going to give up my Hershey's bars for Christmas or for Lent, and then you absentmindedly pick one up and take a bite, who's going to do anything about it? You know, I mean, there's not Lent police. Nobody's following you around going, you're going to Lent jail, which I don't even know what that would be. And probably you're not going to get struck by lightning. And so you're really just accountable to yourself. And you go, well, if I'm only one holding myself accountable, what difference does it make? Why would I even bother? Well, because this is what Lent is. This is in the spirit of Lent, for it to be a very personal thing between you and God. And so, yes, you are the one holding yourself accountable, but it is between you and God. I mean, really, who's hardest on us anyway? We're hardest on ourselves. And when we fail at something, we're pretty hard on ourselves. I believe that is what Isaiah is inviting us to in this approaching season of Lent, is to think about why, what, and what's into it with us as we approach Lent. So I am bringing this up today. I usually don't work on talking about Lent until we get right up to it. But you know what happens? At the end of December, we're getting ready for New Year's, and we go to flip our calendar, and we go, oh, I haven't even thought about what to do for a New Year's resolution. And we know that when it happens every year, right? Likewise, Ash Wednesday sort of sneaks up on us, especially because it's not always on the same day of the year. And so when we forget to kind of think about it, and Ash Wednesday arrives, and then next thing we know is Thursday, we go, well, I didn't really come up with anything, so I guess I'm just not going to worry about it this year. So I'm giving you a heads up, a little ahead of time. You got a week and a half to kind of think about what it looks like and what you want to give up. And we'll talk about this more deeply so that you know that I'm not just talking about Hershey's bars. So it is fake spring now. Have you guys heard that this week, that this is fake spring? Aren't you like, I'm going to take it anyway? Is anybody like this or that? Are y'all this being fake spring? Are you excited about spring?
Yep.
Yeah, we all kind of want spring. Somebody said to me this week, well, you know why we all get sick in the winter? Because we're not outside getting vitamin D and our vitamins get low, and so we become more susceptible to things. That is like how our bodies are created to really work with the earth, and we're not in it right now. We're staying away from it. We're staying inside, and so we're getting sick more because we're not taking in all that God has created us to take in. So we get weary, and we start to suffer the winter blues, and we're looking for game days and things to break that. So now that we're getting ready to have a nice day, a couple of nice days, how many people have made plans to do stuff outside the next few days? Uh-huh. Yeah, see, okay, the people working on their house have big plans. The people with animals, y'all have big plans. We're still working on our house. We have big plans. Picking up paintbrushes, you know, digging dirt, doing stuff. We're excited about spending those days. some of us are already starting to plan what we're going to plant for flowers this year, right? We're excited to get out in the garden. I know you love to get out there and get working and you're digging bulbs and doing stuff. We get excited about that. Oh, spring! I can't wait for spring! Now, who has that same excitement about Lent? Oh, Lent! I can't wait for Lent. Who does that?
Nobody.
Nobody does that. Okay, well, so I'm hoping that in talking about it and going through Isaiah, we can fix that. Because we want to be excited. This 40 days is a gift. And we don't necessarily look at it as a gift. But Lent is a wonderful opportunity for us to draw closer to God. Now, I have just come off of a couple of weeks where I've pretty much spent all of my time in my house and not getting out, trying to get over the yucky stuff. And I've had some time, and I don't know that you all know this, but when I'm writing a message, I see every person. I see every face. And there are some things that I write that I think, oh, this person's definitely gonna nod, or this person might sniffle, or this person's gonna really, this is gonna resonate with that person. I see every face when I'm writing a message. When I'm here on Sunday, when we are here on Sunday, we see every face that's missing, don't we? We look around and we miss the faces that are not here. So all of the faces and all of the ones who've had an extra long winter and have had to be gone from us because they're going through illness, all of those people have been visiting my prayers and thoughts over the past 12, 14 days that I've been stuck inside. And God has brought some things to my attention and said, these are some things you might try and do differently, or ways that you can try and grow into relationship with some folks that you haven't become in a relationship with. One of my poor folks at one of the other churches got a whole bunch of emails from me. These are a whole bunch of ideas that I have, because I don't really know all the teenagers very good yet at Rich Hill. I'm like, how am I going to get to know every teenager in that church? Like, what are we going to do different this year? So God's been working on me, and I've only been stuck in the house for 12 or 14 days. If God can do that in that 12 or 14 days, what can God do with us in 40? What can He put on our hearts? What fire can He light in our bellies that we just cannot extinguish if we give Him 40 days? And really think about what God would like to see me doing differently. Not you all coming up with what I need to do differently. Remember, this is your personal. What would God like to see each of you doing with God? Now, I have mentioned to you all in the past that my husband and I go on these little Survivor tangents, and we watch several seasons of Survivor. And during my not feeling well for a couple weeks, we have watched a couple seasons. And there was one that we just finished last week that there was a young man on there who played in a way that really looked like Lent to me. So I'm not even going to tell you how the game went for him. I'm going to ask you all to watch it. Like, go find Paramount Plus, watch. I'm sorry, it's a Paramount Plus commercial. It's not. But I know they're showing all of the Survivors. Watch season 22. 22. It's an easy number to remember. And watch this young man named Matt on there. Because I've never heard faith spoken so much, literally, on any show as that one. This young man talked about God. They had multiple ones having Bible study. At one point, Jeff says, how many days was Jesus in the desert? There was conversation. And the way that this young man was living while he was playing the game was very Lenten. And so please, if you have an opportunity to cram in a season of Survivor, watch season 22 and watch Matt. And let's talk about what we saw in that young man. There were literally people in the show that they do after, when they all get back together and talk about how the season went. There was literally people who came and said, I am a different human being because of this person and how their faith has changed me. So I encourage you to go and watch it and see what it's about. And the biggest thing about what this young man did wasn't necessarily that he gave up food or shelter, because that's kind of what we think about. I give up food. He gave up all the control. He just gave everything to God. And there were moments when you said, God's breaking me right now. And it's okay. Seriously, you want to see it. It just made me want to just cry watching this show. I often suggest that we give up something. And we usually do think of fun things like chocolate or junk food or screen time, things that we enjoy. A lot of the times I suggest that we give up things like grudges and anger and pride. But I think what we might really be invited to give up, and that's what it's about. It doesn't matter whether you give up chocolate or whether you give up grudges. What it's about is giving up control. That seems easy to give up, doesn't it? No, it's really not. That is the hardest thing to give up, is control. We kind of like to hold things. It doesn't matter what it is. We like to hold it. You know, I'm that way with my dog. I'm like, I'm holding the dog. People say, can I hold your dog? Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know if I'm going to trust you with this thing. It's precious to me. You know, control. We're kind of like that. It's the hardest thing for us to give up. And we might not even realize how firmly we're holding on to it. But when we get frustrated with God, because God's not really working on our timeline, and we kind of had goals and things that we wanted to have happen, that's control. When we think, I've been praying in earnest for God to drop the lottery wins in my lap for 20 years now, and it's time, and God's not doing what I would like God to do, I mean it when I pray. What am I doing wrong? That's control. Because it's all I. What am I doing wrong? I have prayed. I need. I want. Where's God? That's control. When we think, why isn't God changing the other person? That's control. And see, I'm just as guilty as anybody in the room. That's where I see the limits of my patience and the things that I've been trying to grow, and where I see that I need the most growth, as I too struggle with trying so hard to be in control. So if we could get ourselves to give up ourselves, our plans, we would better see where God wants to take us and what God is calling us to do and who God needs us to be. I'm always careful when I say the word needs, because to say God needs us is kind of interesting. God needs us to be, though, so that we can be for someone else. That's how we grow in our personal relationship with the Creator. Well, the scripture verses that we read aloud today, those are the ones that I added. But in verses 1 through 12, we hear about the Israelites. And it was a long list of things that the Israelites were kind of doing, and how there was this conversation, this give and take between the prophet and Israel. They were fasting. They were giving things up. They were doing what they were supposed to be doing. But there was a couple of problems with it. For one, they were doing it so they could check the box, done. They were doing all of the right things, but it didn't mean anything. So they might have been in their worship space and saying, we want to help the needy and we want to be a friend to the others. And then they might walk right out the front doors and see hungry people on the sidewalk and walk right past them. Because they were not changed. They were self-serving. They were observing all of the things and then saying, okay, God, I did a good job. Now what are you going to do for me in return? It was a selfish fast. And the bigger problem was they weren't changed by it. So if we want to give something up, we ought to be changed by it. What the prophet called them out on was the way that they were treating their neighbors. They weren't treating each other with kindness, and it was obvious that they were not learning anything from their supposed time learning from God. And God said through the prophet, fasting isn't meant to be about you, it's meant to be about us. And that's a us this away and this away. Isn't that neat how that makes a cross too? It's not about seeing how your life can be made better. It's about how you can become a light for someone else and how we can all glorify God because of it. In my understanding of the text, I feel like God was in hopes that the people would want to do the right things, the good things, and the God things because they wanted to do it. Not because they were checking a box, but because it was important to them. They were excited about their relationship with God. So I want to talk about this in a way that we will all probably understand pretty well. Parents, there's a lot of parents here. There's a couple of you that are not quite there yet. You'll be the other half of this story. We teach our kids to clean their rooms, do we not? There you go. That was the operative words. We try. And we do it for multiple reasons. The number one reason we teach our kids to clean their room is for our own sanity. And I'm just admitting that right off the bat. Because kids' rooms, doesn't matter how big or small a kid is or what gender they are, their rooms smell funny. And they tend to be kind of mad. They do smell funny, do they not? I mean, gosh. Teenage boy, I'm so sorry, Jackson, I love you, but I had a teenage boy and I'm just basing it on my personal experience. His room just smelled like a dirty sock. I don't know how the whole room smells like a dirty sock, you know? But it did. And stale potato chips. You can get into a car and you can tell what gender a person's been driving in, whether it smells like socks and chips or it smells like leather and perfume, you know? They're just different. And so, yeah, when people come over, you gotta shut the door on the kids' rooms, right? So we teach our kids to clean their room for our own sanity. We teach them to clean their room so that they can show that they appreciate having a room. I mean, you've got a room, and we're the reason you have a room, kid, you know what I mean? And so they can appreciate the things in it. We teach them to clean the room because it shows love and respect for the other people in the house. If it smells better and looks better, that's good for everybody, right? And then we teach kids to clean their room, believe it or not, to help you be responsible adults. You can't know how to keep a house until you know how to keep a room. Right? You got to start small and work your way up. And so we teach these practices. But then most kids, don't you have to ask them to do the job? Your room's supposed to be clean on Saturday, so that means it's Tuesday. Maybe you ought to get started. And then Friday, you're sort of saying, hey, you need to clean your room. And so how often is it, and this is just most of the kids that I've known, not every kid. I know there are exceptions to the rule. There are some extremely tidy ones out there. But most kids don't want to do the job. Right? Most kids don't want to do the job. I can ask my own child, didn't you always think when you were a child that it should be your idea that if I asked you to do something, it wasn't genuine? Yeah.
She still thinks that.
Yeah, she still thinks that. We don't want to be told to do, like, we want to come up with it on our own, right? So what happens is we ask the kids to clean the room. They don't really want to clean the room. It's not their idea. Therefore, it's not a genuine act of I want to. It's I have to. So then how does a child clean the room when all of a sudden it is 9 o'clock on Friday night, they want to go do something Saturday, and they have to clean their whole room? It all goes in the closet. They open the door and they shove everything in and then they push the closet door shut or they throw it all under the bed, which is very effective until they remember that their shoes that they need on Saturday are in the bottom of the closet. They're really hoping they can wait till Monday so Saturday can go off scot-free and they can still go do the thing they want to do. But the reality is then the mess is still there, isn't it? It's just been pushed to the side. Everything is just as messy as it was before, but they checked the box, right? You see where this is going now? When we only go to worship and when we only observe Lent to check the box, but our heart isn't in it, the mess is still there. It's just pushed into the closet. Now, what's exciting is when there does come a day when the parent walks in and goes, house smells pretty good today. And then they walk up to their kid's room and they look in and they go, wow, that's clean. And then they open the closet and it's clean and there's no monsters under the bed. And the parent's going, what happened? Usually the first question is, what do you want? But then we are marveling at this wonderful human being so much that we adult parents call our parents and go, do you know what our kids just did? We raised some awesome human beings and I don't know where this came from. That's what I get from Isaiah 58, especially down there at verse 13, where the prophet says, if you will observe a holy Sabbath, like truly observe it, cleaning out your spiritual junk, refraining from simply going through the motions, and give yourself over to actually seeking God for the sake of being close to God because you love God, then you will delight in the Lord, and the Lord will make you ride on the heights of the earth. God is looking forward to calling up and going, did you see what my humans did? They were excited about me because they wanted to be. They were excited about Lent. They were excited about the Sabbath. They cleaned out their spiritual junk, and I didn't have to tell them to do it. They just did it for love. God wants us to love Him like we mean it. Loudly, compassionately, embracing every opportunity that we have to get closer to Him, to do a 40-day faith diet and say, what would you like for me to be doing differently? Fasting is giving up something that will draw us closer to God. And when we do this, God delights in us and we delight in Him. So you got a week and a half. Ash Wednesday is coming, and I invite you between now and then to figure out what it looks like to clean your spiritual room. What needs washed? What smells bad? What needs purged? Fasting isn't really about choosing this or that and then only being able to think about what we gave up. It's about committing to the change, because there is always room to grow. And it doesn't matter how close we are to God or how much we look like God, we could always look more like God, right? Do you all think that we all look exactly like God already? We all have God in us, but we all have room to grow. So let's not just check a box and put a feather in our hat. Let's ask what we can do with God so God can do something through us. Let's look forward to the season of Lent. Let's look forward to spiritually giving to God and knowing that it's not about what's off limits. It's about giving God access to everything that we are. Would you pray with me? Holy and loving God, we thank you for just your words through the prophet, Lord, and for reminding us that you love us just like any parent. You love us and you are proud of us and you want to be proud of us. And you want us to want you more than anything else in the world. You want our relationship to be the thing we're most excited about, not the thing that just sits next to a box to be checked. Lord, help us to get excited. Help us to think, where can we grow together? What is it that I need to put aside in order to help myself grow closer to you? Lord, thank you for your Son, Jesus, who showed us what it is to put off ourselves for you. Thank you for reminders in our daily life because we see them. Lord, inspire us. Thank you for loving us. Help us to love you even better. You call us, Lord, to fast, not out of silence, but for service. You call us to help heal. You ask that our worship time together would be more than words, that it would be more than ritual. Lord, we pray over all that we would offer you of our time, our gifts, our talents. Bless these gifts. And know that they are signs of our willingness to share with everyone around us, to feed the hungry, to break chains of injustice, to repair things that are broken. May our generosity reflect your mercy and our living mirror your love. Use us, Lord, in the gifts that we bring today so that light might rise in the darkness and hope could take root where previously despair has reigned. In your name we pray all these things. Amen.